Welcome to Happily Family. I'm Cecilia Hilke.
And I'm Jason Hilke.
And we are delighted today to have Dr. Natasha Ching with us. Dr. Tash is a Melbourne-based pediatrician and proud mother of two, soon to be three, who's passionate about child development, connected parenting, and empowering families. A fellow of the Royal Australian College of Physicians, she completed her advanced pediatric training at both the Royal Children's and the Monash Children's Hospitals in Australia. Through her platform, Dr. Tash, Natasha offers practical tools and compassionate guidance to help families grow together, grounded in the belief that connected kids thrive. Welcome, Dr. Tash. It's great to have you.
Thanks for being here with us, Tash.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah.
I wanted to first ask you about something that you say, and that is that parenting starts with us. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, look, that's a great question. And honestly, it's one of the most important things that I think I've come to realize both as a pediatrician and as a parent myself. And so let me be clear. When I say parenting starts with us, I do not mean that in a self-blaming way, but rather in an empowering one. Let me give you a recent personal example. So, the other week, I totally shamed my son. He'd deliberately thrown his yogurt container on the floor so that it would splatter everywhere and all over the carpet of the Airbnb that we had just checked into. Honestly, I'm still not entirely sure why he did it, because I didn't actually give any moment for curiosity. I just lost it. I said things like, "I'm so mad right now. I can't believe you did that. You're deliberately trying to make my life harder. I don't want to talk to you right now." And I even huffed off going to get the cleaning stuff. Let's be honest, not my best moment. And given everything I share on connected parenting, I mean, why did I react like this? Simple. I was at capacity. And now I'm not excusing his behavior, but that's not actually the point. Let's pause and have a look at what was actually going on for me. So at this moment, I'm 34 weeks pregnant, day three into a prolonged solo parenting stint, moving from accommodation to accommodation while my husband's trying to complete our kitchen renovation before the new baby arrives. And the kids and I had been a couple of hours away from home in the country, staying with family for the weekend. That's the day we need to come back to Melbourne, so locally, so that we can get ready for the week ahead. And in my head, I had my plans, my expectations. This is how my day's going to go. I'd intended on leaving on time to make the time perfect so that the little one had his nap in the car and, you're not going to have a midnight sleep, all these things. Everything's going to happen how it's going to happen. But as life does through the unexpected, and instead of that casual pack up and go sort of thing that I'd envisioned, the morning started with an unplanned ambulance trip to hospital with my youngest after he experienced a medical emergency. Thankfully, with my medical background, once he was stable and safe within a few hours, we had a plan, was able to get home and still get back to Melbourne. But I was still holding the weight of everything that had happened, and it was a really stressful start to the morning. And I'm still processing, what am I going to do for him? How do I best care for him into the future? And what do I do? And so now we've gotten to the accommodation, we've checked in. There's no time to stop. We're unpacking, making dinner, finishing dinner, and my heavily pregnant body is sore from being on my hands and knees, wiping up the toddler mess from the floor. I am mentally and physically exhausted. So what was a yogurt throw? It was just the final straw. That moment, my reaction, it wasn't about him, it was about me. And that doesn't mean, and that's what I mean when I say parenting starts with us. Our reactions often are not about the behavior that's occurring in front of us. They're shaped by the stress that's going on in our own lives, our own beliefs, our expectations, conscious or often unconscious. Parenting is like holding a mirror up to our internal world. And unless we're willing to look at that mirror, to have those moments to pause and reflect and look at, okay, how can I do things differently, or how could I do things better with self-compassion, then we run the risk of just continuing those patterns of things that we don't even realize we're carrying, or projecting them on as the child's problem, because look at his behavior, he's doing this, da, 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 he's making my life hard. And like I said, it's not about excusing behavior. It's just realizing that while a child's actions might trigger something in us, our responses are about what's actually going on in our internal world at that moment. So parenting isn't just about raising children. It's actually one of the greatest invitations we ever get for self-growth and healing as well. Really important to understand, though, this is not about blame and it's not about shame, because being a connected parent is not about getting it right all the time. It's about being real, and it's about willing to own when it's our part to take that step to repair, to show our children that it's okay not to be perfect and to apologize and to grow alongside our kids. And so that's what I mean when I say parenting starts with us. It's not blame. It's definitely not shame. It's realizing that actually, as much as I'm teaching my kids how to grow and raising a child, I'm growing myself too.
It's great.
There's so many great things you said.
Yeah, and I can so relate to that whole piece of parenting being a journey of kind of self-discovery and self-work. Didn't expect that when I became a parent. That wasn't like the
I
part
hear
that I
you.
was thinking about, right? I'm like, oh, good. Here's what I get to do. And it's been fantastic. And you were just talking about that. I was just thinking just right before we got on here, got on the microphone with you. I just had an interaction with our older kiddo, and you know they're in their early 20s, and you know it was a little bit of an upset we had, and I own that there was I, it took me a bit to figure out, like, oh yeah, I slept really lousy last night, and I'm really hot, and I got a lot of stuff that's going on, and I'm in a rush to make sure that I get over here for this interview, like all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that was for me, like, recognizing my part that I had to play in that, didn't excuse what happened, but definitely was like me recognizing for myself and having some self-awareness. And I think that's taken me a while. I mean, everyone's different, but for myself, it took a while to get to that point of being able to recognize that. And I was wondering if you could speak to that a little bit. Like, there was quite a while there as a parent that I think I was just surviving, right? Like, I was just in this place. I was a new parent, trying to figure out, like, how's this thing work? When do I get my sleep? How do I keep my kiddo alive by feeding them? You know, like, just all of that stuff, and supporting Cecilia, making sure that she's getting the sleep she needs, all these things that we do as new parents. But early, you know, even through the years, like, there's a point at which I think there was like something that switched over for me. And I'm not sure if I could really put a finger on it. I know there's things I've done over the years, but I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about that. What can parents do to start to recognize what their part is in it and what's going on in the moment for themselves?
Yeah, and I think that a big part of that is just actually the first step is that realization that it's not just about the kids, it's about us. So even that insight into knowing, oh, okay, there is a little bit more to this, is such a big first step. And I suppose what I mean that in that is the same as you. When my first was born, people were like, oh, you're a pediatrician, you've got this in the bag, you're going to be fine. And let's be honest, to an extent, I thought the same. I was like, I can do this. Parenting's easy. I've learned to juggle lots of things across my life. Like, it's going to be so easy. And it was just like everything, all the skills that I've learned until this point to manage successful careers, success in other areas of life, just don't work here. Because the biggest part is it's not about the strategy. It's not about what you do here or what you do there. It's about how you journey through life being with someone in the moment. And it's just as true in any other relationship we have. It's not just with our kids. It's with our partners. It's with our friends. It's with our colleagues. We can't. It's that realization that when you're dealing with relationship, when you're dealing with other people, you can't be, this is the way something's going, I've got to fix this, I've got to fix that. When we get too task orientated, we almost lose what's actually happening in the interaction. Whereas when we start to realize that, you know, I can't control every aspect of a relationship, but I can be present in that moment. And so with our kids, that's also being present of going, I can't fix the big feelings. Like, the goal isn't fixing big feelings when they happen. It's just being able to go, okay, you're having a hard time. I will be with you through that hard time. And that's what carries them back out the other side, rather than how do I fix this? How do I fix this? And so I suppose, like, I can so relate to your experience. Like, I look at when my first was born, I remember getting to a point where I tried for 8 hours to just get him to sleep, because it was, you know, you sleep at this time, you do this, you do that. And life doesn't work like that. Textbooks are great, but, you know, due for a 2 hour nap. Oh, I made it 20 minutes. I'm done now, Mum. Really learning to embrace the moment, to embrace the unexpected, to realize that you cannot control everything in relationships or with human beings. And that a big part of that is getting past our own mental state within that of going, especially if you've been a, you know, high functioning, highly successful person or someone that's been like, I like to be in control of all these aspects of things. It's a really, really confronting experience to suddenly go, oh, okay, I'm not in control, but you're never going to be, and that's okay. It's actually just being in the journey.
I love
Yeah.
that. Yeah, our kids didn't seem to get the textbook that they're supposed to study beforehand. They're not sticking to the script. They're not sticking to the textbook that I read.
Yeah. I'll be really honest and say that after becoming a parent, I look back at the advice I gave to parents as a doctor before having children, and I feel bad because it's just like there is a textbook and then there's reality. And the reality of life is that, there is no one size fits all. There is no one approach fits all. There's no one way of doing things that's correct and every other way is wrong. It's a journey. Every child is different. Every parent is different. Every parent-child relationship is different. And there is no, this is how you do it, or this is wrong, or this is right. It's what works for you as a family and what works for you as an individual. But it's that underlying realization that we all always have room to grow. Not shamed, but room to grow, and that we can be better, we can be bigger, our kids, but us too.
Yeah.
I love that.
So I wanted to ask, because I love the conversation that we're having. And I can imagine there's people listening in the audience and they're like, okay, this is great. I can do my self-awareness. But how do I go back and reconnect with my kid after something has happened and it didn't go the way that I really wanted it to go? How do you tell parents to reconnect?
Yeah, so I suppose the concept of repair, so that reconnection moment of repair is first actually acknowledging and taking on our own part. Like, for instance, for me with my son, I had to have my moment. Did I go repair immediately? No, I had to have my moment. I had to re-regulate myself. I had to clean up the yogurt mess first too. But when I did come back later, I sat with him and I just said, mommy got really angry, didn't she? So it was acknowledging the event, not blaming him, not saying you did this, so mommy got angry, but just going, mommy got really angry. That was really hard, wasn't it? It's like, yeah. Well, it was a bit scary. Yeah. It's like, I'm really sorry. I'm like, mommy was feeling stressed. I had lots going on that day, but I shouldn't have gotten so angry at you. And I'm really sorry that I snapped. And I'll try to do better next time and see if I can, manage myself when I'm feeling stressed. My son's quite funny. He turns around sometimes, okay, that's okay, mommy, but don't do it again. I never promise I'm not going to do it again. Let's be honest, we're going to do it again. But I will say, it's like, I'll try and do better. And so what is it? It's acknowledging, taking ownership of your reaction. We're not talking about their behavior in this moment. It's taking ownership of your reaction, just modeling that apology to them and showing them that it's a safe place, and that it actually taking the blame away from them. Because what we don't realize is that, or sometimes what we don't realize is that kids unconsciously internalize that message as, I'm bad because mum couldn't handle this, I'm bad. And so it's trying to take away that blame from them to go, oh no, mum said this was about her, not about me. She was feeling stressed. And so it's not that I'm this terrible child, it's that mum was having a bad time. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Absolutely. It's
Yeah.
funny. The thing that I did, just go back to the story that of what happened just before we got on our interview, is I was texting our kid, who's early 20s, about like what my role was in it, and like that was the reconnecting and like follow up, and we'll have a follow up conversation about it all. But like, this all applies to like the whole continuum of age and development. Like, it's not
Absolutely.
just when they're young, right? Like, it's true, and maybe I could say it's true of all relationships, but like, for me, that was the way that I have, and it's not the first time. Like, sometimes I've noticed as our kids got older and they were like older teens, texting worked really well, or doing things that weren't face to face. Like, it was like entering into a medium where it was a little bit easier to communicate for them. And so I met them where they were. And I like that. I like that. Just, trying to figure out what works for them. But yeah, still taking that responsibility for it and reconnecting. And like, let's talk about this some more and work it all out.
And 100%, this is just as true for any other relationship. Marriage, 100%. Like, let's be honest, it's the relationship you're probably going to do the biggest ruptures in. any close and intimate relationship you have with another person, it's relevant.
Yep, Cecilia and I definitely have exchanged text messages and Slack messages about like, okay, so I lost it there because I'm stressed about. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And even if sometimes I can look at my child and say, okay, this is developmentally appropriate that you would, you're 2 years old, you would throw your yogurt. That makes sense. Even if, because my background is occupational therapy, so I have a sense of like, kind of the range of development. And even if it's not developmentally appropriate, I look at my kid and I think, okay, this is the best you can do at this moment, regardless of whether it's an outlier behavior on some like developmental chart. This is the best possible solution you could think of to meet your needs.
Well, it's
Yeah.
a bit like what we were just talking about, where if you looked at that situation, what was going on for me, it's just as true for our kids. Like, they've come home from a big day at school or daycare or kinder or wherever they might be. They've had interactions too. And in our minds, that might not look like a big deal, but to them, it's huge. And so they is just the straw that broke the camel's back. Like it's not that they're bad kids. Fundamentally, they're good kids. Fundamentally, we're all good inside. It's just that we have hard days. We're all human, and our kids are just as human as we are.
Yeah, like having giving some grace to all that.
Some of the things that you're saying sound to me like self-compassion, saying like, oh, they're good kids. They're just having kind of a hard day, or telling ourselves, oh, I'm a good person. I'm just having a hard moment. What role does self-compassion play in all the things that we're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. It is so important. I think that it's also important to realize that it's really difficult when you're trying to give it to yourself as well, because there's two aspects of self-compassion. There's modeling compassion to your kids, but self-compassion to ourselves. If you've grown up and like me, you've been someone that's really struggled with that internal dialogue. It's usually deeply rooted in our internal beliefs and the dialogue we've had from childhood. And if you've been in that cycle of self-blame, criticism, that little voice does not suddenly disappear. Speaking from personal experience, for me, it took years of working through it with professional assistance to rewire that internal self-talk, to be able to get past that first instinct dialogue. It never entirely goes away. And I think that's really important to realize that no matter how much work you do, those internal beliefs have a habit of always popping up in those little moments as the first thing that goes through your mind. And what you then do is going, okay, I'm going to call out what that truly is and redirect the thought, if that makes sense. Really important. It's hard work. Got to acknowledge that. And I think that when you first start doing it, if you've never done that before, or if you're still in that cycle of really being critical and self-blame, in the book, I give the analogy of a toddler learning to walk. And when a toddler's learning to walk, they fall a lot. And even when you get to adulthood, we still fall. You put the wrong circumstance or you make too many obstacles, anyone can fall. So you never get to a point that you never stop falling. And parenting and life and, self-healing journeys are all exactly the same. We never get to a point where we don't fall. But when you first start the journey of learning, you fall a lot. And that's okay. It's okay when you're talking about your own self-healing. It's okay when you're talking about parenting and learning how to be a self-reflective parent. You are going to fall a lot, and that is okay. And that's where the self-compassion needs to come in. And being really mindful that we can't give what we don't have. And so sometimes we can be really good at being compassionate to other people. We'll be compassionate to our friends when they're going through a hard time. We'll even show compassion to our kids because we can see that, like you said, this is the best you can do at this moment. But yet the internal dialogue we're saying to ourselves is being critical. You could have been better. You know better. You should do more. Even though we know perfection isn't the goal, it's still the, but you should have done better. And like I'm speaking to myself when I say this too. But the thing is, how we treat ourselves actually becomes that blueprint of how our kids learn to treat themselves. We're modeling to them what is it? Like, mum says this, yeah, but our actions speak so much louder than our words. It's like, but she kicks herself for it when she's having a hard time. And so what is that self-compassion? It's going, I've had a hard moment. I might have yelled, I might have fallen, I've fallen short. I am human and that is okay. And so questions you can ask yourself is, you know, would you speak to your child the way you're speaking to yourself right now? Or if your best friend was having this same moment, was said the same thing that you just said to yourself, what would you say to them? Because often in those moments, we wouldn't be like, oh, you're failing or you're doing a terrible job or you should have done better. It'd be, you know, that was really hard. You're doing your best. Pause, take a breath. We're human. It's okay. You're doing the best you can. And so self-compassion is really moving that. Is hard work if you haven't done it before, but it's not being indulgent. It's not like, you know, making ourselves over speaking about ourselves. It's actually really important of going, how would you speak to someone you really loved and cared about in that moment and trying to return that dialogue to ourselves? And it's really reparenting. It's learning to rewrite those stories that maybe we haven't learned the first way, the first time when we were little, the best that we could. And trying to meet the needs of ourselves as well. And so it can be pausing and going, you know, tuning into our bodies, tuning into our minds, tuning into what do I need right now? Glass of water, breath, 5 minutes. How's my body feeling? How tense am I right now? I don't know about you, but for me, jaw and shoulders. It's like, oh, I'm pretty tense right now. Probably need to find a way to calm myself down, acknowledging that's not always possible, but it's starting to be in tune to what our body's talking to us, what our own needs are, because when we can model self-care and self-compassion, then our kids learn that that's actually how we approach things too, and how to self-care and be self-compassionate to themselves as they get older.
Yeah, I keep on finding myself just nodding along with
Yeah,
you.
right.
Yes,
Yes, I love that.
all of that. Yeah.
It's a big motivator to be a model for our kids, you know, if anything, right?
Yeah,
Like, not just that it's
absolutely.
good for us, but like it's good for our kids too. So let's model it for them.
Yeah, and I think for our kids, one of the messages that's so important is that if they see us being imperfect and see us returning and repairing and saying, oh, I'm going to try harder next time, then I think one of the messages that they get is, oh, I don't need to be perfect either in order
Absolutely.
to deserve your love or to earn your love. That our kids can just think, oh, I can get your love even if I'm not perfect. And that is a really important message for kids to get.
Absolutely, 100% agree, and that's really the key that comes down to it. It's trying to, you know, going back to the parenting starts with us. It's not blame; it's the self-awareness to try and break the cycles that many of us have had through our own childhoods. Not because we have bad parents, but because everyone is human, and our parents, like us, have always been doing the best that they can with the information they have at the time, and with the capacity and everything else that's going on. And our goal is just to try and see if we can do better for our kids. We're not perfect, and that's okay. But sending them the message that you are loved and you accepted as you are, perfection is not the goal. You don't have to be perfect. You can have big feelings. You can mess up. We can get upset at each other, but that doesn't take away the fact that I love you and we have a relationship together, and that's fundamentally the connection is always there.
I'm good at
Yeah.
modeling imperfection. That's, I think, one thing you can definitely do. Yeah.
We all are, and that's okay. And that's probably the most important thing to take away, that perfection is not the goal. It's okay to be imperfect. Like I absolutely love Edward Tronick, the developmental psychologist. His observational data shows us that you only actually need to get it right 30% of the time to develop a secure attachment with between child and parent. That's fantastic. I'm not saying let's aim for 30%, but that's fantastic. That tells us it's okay to be human. It doesn't, you're not going to destroy your child. Like sometimes we, as parents, we give that self-dialogue of, I'm ruining my child, I'm traumatizing my child, I'm doing to my child what my parents did to me. And that's not helpful. That's going into a cycle of blame, and blame is never, or shame, sorry, and it's never valuable to shame oneself. That gets you stuck. It's not helpful. But where you can go, it's okay, I got it wrong. That's okay. We'll try to do better next time. And
Yeah.
I only need to get it right 30% of the time, still develop a connected relationship with my kid.
That's great. I'm glad you brought that stat up. I love that stat. It's a good reminder.
Yeah, because I think a lot of parents, me included, certainly, I think, oh my gosh, I don't want to damage my child. I don't want my partner to damage my child. So I gotta like play interference sometimes if I think he might say something weird. Like it's just too much pressure to try to get it perfectly all the time. And 30%, I can do that. Yeah.
I so relate to what you just said. And the other irony is that when you've got that much pressure, you're adding an additional stress. So your internal state's actually worse. It's almost like a vicious cycle that makes it
Yeah.
harder rather than easier.
It's great. Natasha, as we are wrapping up here, do you have any final words for us or anything that you want to leave us with?
Yeah, I think that it really comes back to realizing that you're doing the very best you can. Like the fact that you're here at this sort of conference shows that you're the sort of parent that is doing the best that they can. They're trying to get the information to get to connect with their kids. They're trying to grow, trying to do better. You're going to trip and you're going to fall, and that's okay. It's not the goal to be perfect. It's just being able to see and recognize and self-reflect and go, okay, how do I do better next time? And one thing I think that's really important to recognize is guilt and shame. So sometimes these terms come up, and I think it's really, really important to understand the difference between the two. So guilt is saying, okay, probably didn't do that the best. I could have done that a bit better. Guilt is really helpful. Guilt is something that goes, okay, moral compass could improve on this and do something differently next time. Shame talks to your internal self and your being. Shame is the sort of thing that says, I'm a bad parent or I'm a bad kid, and there is no value in shame. Shame, when you tip from guilt to shame, that's when you get stuck. When you get stuck in going, I'm at this endless cycle of going, I can't do this, and it's just too hard, or I'm destroying my kids, or I'm destroying myself, or what am I doing, or I'm destroying my partner. And it's that internal dialogue that is really, really unhelpful. And so if people can realize that there is a difference between it, and if you're ever getting to that point that you're hearing that dialogue to yourself of going, I'm a bad person or I'm this, stop. You're a good parent. You're a good parent having a hard time, and you're doing the very, very best that you can. You might not have got it perfect. That's okay. We can do better next time. You're going to fall again? Yeah, absolutely. So do I. So do we all. It's okay to trip up. But try not to get yourself stuck in that shame cycle, because it's incredibly unhealthy and it's really hard to get moving once you're in there.
Those
And
are all, huh?
if you are, professional help. There is nothing wrong with getting professional help. Honestly, I truly believe that every human being would benefit from having a good psychotherapist to talk to, and having good counseling sessions and things like that. It's incredibly valuable. Why? Because there is no perfect being in the universe, and we all have things that we can work on and grow. So it's really easy to be self-critical. It's really easy to get caught in that cycle of shame. It's really easy to get to have that critical self-dialogue. Try and stop it in the setting of going, hang on, this isn't helping. This isn't true. I am a good parent. I am doing the best I can. I'm just having a hard time. Or my kid is doing the best that they can. They're just having a hard time. Or my partner is doing the best that they can. They're just having a hard time. And to try and get out of that state of stuckness, for lack of a better term, and into that state of let's be, show compassion, let's show grace, let's show it's okay, let's look forward. Can't change the past, but what can I try and do better next time? And if I fall again, that's okay. I'm going to own it, I'm going to apologize. Let's try and do better next time.
Those are great reminders. I appreciate this conversation, and especially distinguishing between guilt and shame there. I'm glad you went through that. You have a lot of really great information out there and available. How could people best connect with you online and find some of that?
Yeah, I'd love to have people connect if they want to hear more. Best thing would be I can send you the link, but I've got a free copy of the book chapter, so The Grace of Repair, from my website. And then on there also is some links to any of the social media platforms that I'm on too. So whatever suits people. Yeah, if it, to sign up for my email list and you get the book chapter and then all of the social media ones, whichever suits people to follow on. Love to see more of you.
Great. We'll put a link in the speaker notes so people can get a download of that chapter that talks about, I believe it's about strengthening bonds through repair. And it's something free that you're giving out. And I think that's something that everyone could benefit from, especially for all relationships, probably. And I appreciate you taking the time here with us, talking to us. And it's been great talking to you. And we'll talk to you again in the future.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
you.
Bye-bye.
See you. Bye.